We're back.
Get them.
Once again.
We got our off season in.
Yeah, a little off season. We got our vacation break in after the draft and everything. We got a little vacation. But the season's coming up.
It's creeping up, Marcus.
It's creeping up, man. I mean, training camp actually starts. Rookie camp starts on Friday for some teams.
We're getting there.
We're at the training camp.
It's that time of year.
Yeah, we get to learn training camp numbers pretty soon. So it's a little pocket awareness. It is Marcus and Chris at King Manelos on Twitter for Chris.
Look at you.
At the Mark John NFL for me on Twitter. Make sure you hit that follow button for both of us. We're back. We're back for another season. It's season two for us.
It's season two, Marcus.
It is season two. Covering another season of NFL quarterbacks and, you know, reviews and basically everything NFL. You know, we go on some classic rants.
Oh, classic.
And, you know, classic we get off topic rants. A lot, too. So, you know, we're back. We're back here. How you been, Chris? Anything been bothering you? Any news? Anything you've seen?
Marcus, it's too early in the new season to get me all fired up like that.
Okay.
It's too early in the new season to get me all fired up. I'll tell you what.
Okay.
Let's get this out of the way. I'm not paying attention to the Rodgers stuff. Not paying attention to the Rodgers stuff. I'm going to give him a year under the new guy.
Okay.
I'll give him some leeway here because I still am under the opinion that last year was a sabotage.
Okay.
I'm still under that opinion, but I'm very impressed with what the Packers have going on defensively. I'm very excited for what the offense is going to bring. I will pull back the reins a little.
Okay.
Because this is going to be the first time that Rodgers learns a new offense.
It is.
So I'm interested to see how he handles that. But at the same time, everybody that keeps running their mouth and wants to start some drama with Rodgers and the new head coach, I kind of feel like Rodgers is going to do what he has been doing, which mm-hmm. is he's going to take that as a personal dig.
Okay.
And then he's going to just let it fly on the field.
See, we'll see. We'll see about that.
I got a hunch.
You know, he had a down year last year. Okay.
I'm going to say on purpose.
I know. So that's what you're saying.
I'm going to say on purpose.
Okay.
I'm going to say on purpose. I know you're a big proponent to the conversation of, are we on the backside of Aaron Rodgers' career?
Yes. 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 I know. That's me.
I know that's where you are.
Are we in decline?
I know that's where you are. But I'm going to give it a year
okay.
for him because, in my honest opinion, it is 100% on Aaron Rodgers now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give him a year to get acclimated.
Okay.
But I'm not giving him two.
Do you think he gets in a fight with Matt LaFleur for checking out of a run play at one point in time?
I think they're already arguing that.
Okay.
But I also believe he doesn't want anybody in the media to continue to dog him the way that they had.
Yeah.
So I think that he will take it personally to avoid that type of scenario.
That's true.
Where if there's going to be something like that that happens between the two of them, it's going to be behind closed doors.
Okay. 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 We'll see. We'll see what's going on with that.
You're already going to throw out the first we'll see. Just got back to the mic. You're already going to throw out a hashtag.
I'm already going to throw out a we'll see. I definitely want to also let you know to hit this download button on Spotify. Make sure you follow on iTunes as well. If you have iTunes podcast, whatever you have, Spotify, iTunes podcast, we are on both. So make sure that you are checking for us there before we keep going. Make sure I plug that in there because I didn't plug that in the beginning. So make sure you hit that download button. Make sure you hit that follow button. Make sure you keep checking us out. Make sure you rate us. We need some ratings.
Yeah, we need some reviews.
We need some damn reviews, please.
We need some reviews.
So we appreciate that very much. All right. What's bothering me? I think I'm just, you know what I'm really tired of, Chris? It has nothing to do with quarterbacks. I'm tired of running back talk.
Yeah.
And DK Metcalf talk. I think that's what's bothering me the most. Okay. It's not even anything that has to do with, I mean, the quarterback list or whatever. People, people want to motivate Tom Brady, which is that bothering me too. Can you guys stop? Let's put Tom Brady number one in anything until he retires. Can we not? I think he's. I don't even think he's a top 10 quarterback right now. I think he's old. I think he's on the backside of his, like no. What Chris was that Sims, one that, shut up.
What was that one that came out today? That aging veteran in decline. Oh, just stop giving Tom. Stop giving Tom.
He has Twitter now. You know that, right? And you know he's the type of person that probably searches his name. I know he is. He's looking for motivation. Looking, he's like, I'm 42. I got six rings. He's probably just looking for the haters.
Can I tell you?
Yeah.
That I strongly believe that he's got his first wide receiver threat since Randy Moss.
Okay.
I think N'Keal Harry is gonna have a rookie year.
I think N'Keal Harry is good. He's gonna have a little struggle.
He's gonna have a rookie year, man.
He's gonna have to get the separation down first before I could say he's dominant.
Well, see, no, I think that a guy like Tom Brady can throw him open.
Well, yeah, in certain routes, and certain looks,
and
they'll make it happen.
They'll scheme for him to get open.
I'm just saying, temper your expectations there. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not saying. I know how this works with wide receivers. It's 3 years before they become the guy. I'm just saying, I think he might have I'm going to make the comparison.
Okay.
They're not the same receiver, but I think he can have as big a rookie impact as Davante Adams did.
Okay.
Davante Adams had a severe sophomore slump. Severe. I think N'Keal Harry can have just as big as an impact on the offense in his rookie year as Adams did. And I think he can avoid the sophomore slump as well.
We'll see, man. I don't know about that.
Well, I just need
I just
don't
know about
Tom
that.
Terrific on the other side there. It's hard to bet against that. I think this is probably Josh Gordon was a little bit of a red zone threat.
For sure.
But I think N'Keal Harry is gonna take this to another level for them.
I think the red zone, you are correct. You are correct about that. But
I don't think.
I just think you need to temper your expectations.
I don't think. It's,
I'm thinking like 700 yards, maybe.
Oh, okay, all right. You know what? I won't disagree with you with the yardage.
Okay.
But I will make the statement that I think we're looking to near 10 touchdowns.
Oh, you're calling 10 touchdowns? Huh?
Near. I'm not saying exactly 10. I'm just saying that's not unrealistic.
That's not crazy. I think because N'Keal Harry does a lot with the ball in his hand. So if he gets the ball in his hand, there's a lot he can do. Like he could take a screen to the house. So I think that's his best thing about him is his yak ability. So I think with Tom being accurate and getting in right position, he does have chances for yak. So you are correct about that. I agree with that.
I just had to get you off that DK Metcalf.
I'm just tired of that conversation. Like, we get it. Do you think DK Metcalf is wide receiver one? I get it.
I don't.
You don't need to break down his practice video. Like,
oh, you and I already yelled at each other about this. That he threw a 40-yard pass, and it was all over Twitter, getting retweeted. And DJ Metcalf did some little high step at the 3-yard mark. I think that's his, like, this is how I fake and I juke you out. I do this little high step move,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't actually fake anybody out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get to a DK Metcalf discussion, but I'm just tired of it from both sides. Like, okay, you don't think he can run routes, that's fine. You think he can. You think he's your – just because you had him number 5 on your draft board. I mean, that's your personal problem. I don't really don't care. Like, I'm done. I'm done with DK Metcalf. I'm tired of him. Let's move on. Let's see if he can play or not.
You know he went to exactly where I dog anyway.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's in Seattle, and I didn't like him in the first place.
He's going to have some big – see, my thing with this is that he's got Russell Wilson. He's probably one of the best deep ball throwers in the NFL.
No. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope.
You're trying to say he's not?
I'm going to say he's not.
He's one of them. If not, you better have him in your top 3. That's all I'm going to
say.
No,
absolutely not.
Give me 3 better deep throwers than Russell Wilson. Seriously.
Aaron Rodgers. Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben
still
it's
throws
not
the deep ball.
It's not 2012.
It's not that he can't do it. You want to know who somebody can throw a deep ball, even though it's a little different now? He might actually have a good season throwing the deep ball. I want to really piss you off.
Who?
You ready? Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco never had a good deep ball, sir.
He had a great deep ball.
You better go Mahomes, Wilson, and then I will go Matt Ryan.
I'll give you Matt Ryan and Mahomes. I will not give you Wilson.
Russell, dog, what have you been watching? Russell Wilson's been dropping dives 40 yards down the field since the beginning of time. I don't know what you're talking about, bro.
It's too early, Marcus. I'm not doing this with you. Just like I'm not going to do a top 32 quarterback ranking with you, because we'll never agree. We'll never agree. This is just the.
But
worst
that makes the fun
ever.
Of it, though.
No. There's nothing fun about that because we won't even get through. I bet you we can't even get past 12. I bet you we'll be stuck on 1 through 12, and we'll keep
Chris,
doing that.
Chris, we're doing the top 15 in August. I just thought you got to get your top 15 going. You better get it. We're doing a top 15 at least. We got to do a top 15. Marcus, going into the season, we got to do a top.
We're going to run out of time before the season starts. There's plenty of other stuff to talk about before the season starts.
I know, but we got to do a top 15. You got to give it your top 15. Top 15 quarterback. You ain't got to do all 32. Because that's when it gets crazy. I think it would get more crazy. The 25 through 32 would get more crazy. That's when it would get crazier. I think the top 15, and then we could argue about who we left out. I think it makes it a little more easier. I think we'd agree. I think there's a little more, you know,
we might be on the same page once we get through 8. We're going to have to
work. From 8 and down. I don't know if we'd be on the same page from 8 and down either.
No, I think we would. Okay. I think we would be on the same page with the top 8. I think there's maybe one or two guys that we might. Well, I will probably have a hard time with some of the people that you put in the top 8. But yeah. I think we'll be able to get through 8 okay.
Okay.
But I don't think that last 7 is going to go well, Marcus. I don't think
we got to start at 15. Then we got to start at 15 and go down.
We might have to do like one episode for 8 and the other episode for 7 just to save the poor people.
Okay. All right. So. That's what's bothering us. We're tired of DK Metcalf. I'm tired of DK Metcalf. Oh. Tired of running back talk, too, because, you know, analytics guys hate running backs. I'm kind of just annoyed at seeing it. I mean, I get it. Running backs don't have the same value they used to, but, I mean, they're still useful. And, you know, the Patriots still ran the ball 45% of the time, which is 4% over league average.
Well, now, see here.
And the Saints ran the ball 47% of the time.
Well, now, hold on here. There's a difference between having a successful running game and having one guy that carries that running game. So here's a topic that we were going to get into.
Yeah.
Who do you re-sign if you're the Dallas Cowboys?
Okay.
Do you take that quarterback Dak, or do you give all that money to Zeke? Because you got to pay one of them. You can't pay both of them.
You said you're going to come with a different take. I got a different take on this. I think you pay Dak and Zeke, and you let Cooper go.
No.
That's what I think you do.
No, you did come at me. You just threw a curveball, man. I was looking for a fastball, and you didn't groove it.
I think you should do that. The reason why I think you should do that, I think Dak plays good with Zeke. I think Zeke compliments Dak a lot. I think if you let Zeke go, I think teams are going to have to, you're going to put teams in the position where we're like, we're going to stop Dak and Amari. And we're going to have Dak and Amari beat us. And that's going to be a totally different look than if you just keep the Zeke look. And then they always got to worry about Zeke, which always makes it easier on Dak. Now, because Zeke is not – okay, I don't want to say this. I'm trying to think of some regular running backs. Zeke is pretty damn special. He's never been hurt.
No, he's just been suspended.
Yeah, okay, he gets suspended. Okay,
over and over.
But he's never been hurt, right? He's carried the ball more than anybody else the past 3 seasons.
Yes, he has.
He's never been hurt. He's missed games, but he hasn't missed a game because of injury.
Sure.
He has the most yards from scrimmage, most rushing yards. I mean, he obviously makes that offense go, right? So he's one of the reasons why the even everything working. Amari Cooper getting one-on-ones, pure one-on-ones, pure people in, you know, pure cover one, pure cover three, whatever the most simplest coverages he's working against. There's not a lot of, you know, deception or anything like that because they got to stop Zeke. That's mean if they feel like they stop Zeke, they stop you, right? You switch that up, I think it's going to go the wrong way for the Cowboys. That's what I think.
Now I see exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I do not disagree with what you said. But financially, as an organization, if you pay Dak and you pay Zeke, you can't pay anybody on the defensive side of the ball.
I think they can.
And keep that offensive line together?
See, that's what I'm saying. No, they got – well, the offensive line is already signed up to at least, like, 2021, 2022. So you got to think about
– So what you're saying is there's a three-year window.
Tyron Smith is going to get old. He's already starting to have injuries and stuff. So he's going to get older. Zach Martin's going to still be young. So they might be able to re-up on Zach Martin for a little cheaper deal probably.
They're not going to make any cheaper deal. Martin's going to earn his money.
He's going to be 30 plus.
He's going to earn it at 30 plus. He's going to earn it.
But they're still going to be like, you're 30. So I'm going to tell you, he's not going to make as much money as he's making now.
Not in a Cowboys uniform.
I mean, yeah, maybe if he hits free agency, but then they'll franchise tag him. They'll do whatever they can to keep Zach, right? So they'll keep Zach. They'll keep Frederick. They'll probably let Collins walk, I bet. They'll probably try to draft somebody or replace Collins. I think they're already trying to do that. I mean, they already did draft Connor McGovern, too. So I think they're trying to find that guard. Connor Williams is a tackle, but he's playing guard, and they should just play him at tackle. But they probably won't do that. I think I saw a report that they might, but don't quote me on that. So I think the line is fine. The line is okay.
You're not okay defensively if you're going to pay Zach.
But they gotta pay like LVE. Zach. They got to pay Jalen.
Yeah.
But one of those two is going to walk. So they
got to pay Jones. Got to pay Lawrence because isn't he under the tag?
Lawrence already got paid.
They extended him? I thought he was under the tag.
No, he got extended. He got paid. So Lawrence got paid.
All right, so you got one under the belt.
Yeah, he got like $22 million a year. He's like third behind Mac and Donald. So he's there. He's up there. Right, he got paid already. They got to pay Jalen. They got to pay LVE, which I mean, I think they're probably gonna let Jalen go if I
why
was reading their mind why? because
you paid Dak and Z
or Dak and Coop. It doesn't matter. They're paying that group in.
Let me hit you with
in that double in that basically they're gonna pay two of those receivers. They're not paying all three of them.
Let me hit you with it.
Okay.
Zeke is already stated he's holding out this year.
See, now they're saying that's a rumor that might be true. That didn't come from Zeke's camp. That came from some guy that's supposed to be. Because you know I do Cowboys wire. So I still follow some Cowboys Twitter guys.
Marcus, the fact that that's out there already is a problem for a guy that while he never gets hurt, while he gets a whole bunch of carries, everything that he does on the field, very productive, he can't keep his name out of people's mouths.
So. Okay.
Trade him. He is more valuable now than he will be.
They're not trading Zeke.
Hold on. Follow me here.
Okay. But go ahead.
This I got all this, so I can't take credit for this. I heard Coward say it.
Okay.
And I think he's right. You trade Zeke. Like Jimmy Johnson trade Herschel Walker, you get as much possible back, and they can get a haul. They can get an absolute haul for Zeke. So they can do exactly what you're talking about with the offensive line.
Jerry Jones thinks he's Emmett, though. So come back to that. Jerry Jones thinks he's Emmett. So let's think about Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones wants to recreate the triplets. First of all, that's his. I got to recreate. I got my quarterback. I got my running back. Got my receiver. I want to get these guys all signed.
It's a different league.
So
it's a different league.
I get it. But that's what I think they should do. But what they're gonna do, which I will tell you what they're gonna do, is they're gonna pay Dak. They're gonna pay Coop, and they're gonna franchise tag and wiggle along Zeke and Elliott for the next four seasons. And he's gonna keep leading to the playoffs, and then they're probably gonna just dump him off after a while.
They should get rid of him now because he's a headache. He's an absolute headache and probably
They won't.
That's fine. Just like the Cardinals made the mistakes that we said that they were going to make with going down the road that they did with drafting Kyler Murray and giving up on Rosen and not setting the team up in a position for success.
Yeah.
The Cowboys will follow that same blueprint. Now, what they should do is I agree with Colin. You trade Zeke. You get as much possible out of him now. What does that do? That does put all the pressure on Dak. Dak's still got a little time before he gets to re-sign. You put all the pressure on Dak. Yeah, you might have a little bit of a down year. But you don't have to pay Dak. like you do now.
They're paying Dak before training camp, though.
No way. You think they're gonna pay him before they go into the season? If you trade Zeke and you have Dak play this year out, you're gonna get him for less, and you've got more assets to bring to the table for next season.
That's not a for sure thing, though.
But so here's the thing: that defense is a lot better than the offense. You can get away with letting the defense kind of carry you. Go through the blueprint that Seattle did. Go through the blueprint.
They don't have the running. Who's going to replace Zeke if they trade him, though, if they're going to go with that blueprint?
You can go down.
If basically what I'm saying, if they get rid of Zeke, they're saying that we are going to pass the football.
Yes, you're going to pass
the football. Okay, so you're going to pass the football.
At the same time, you can get one, two, three guys to play the running back position and have a three-headed monster to replace the one-headed monster.
That
is a concept that does work. A concept that works, and it's proven by many other teams in the league. I'm not saying that all three guys are going to equal Zeke. I'm saying they can at least get 85% of what Zeke did, because that offensive line is still the same.
I mean, you have a point.
I think it makes sense because that's
not going to happen. They're not trading Zeke.
I'm not saying that it's a surefire thing.
They're
going to
keep Zeke for the next 4 or 5 years because they still have him for the next 4 or 5 years, no matter how Zeke
feels.
No, because he gets
two franchises. That's a lot of money to pay a running back, though.
It's only $11
million.
That's
a lot of money to pay.
Franchise tag is only $11 million.
For the first year, and the second year, that's $22 million.
No, it doesn't.
It doubles.
Double. I saw it online. So I think the first year, because his option is only $9 million. First year, 11, so it shouldn't double. It'd probably be like 13 or 14, probably.
Yeah,
but it all depends on if another running back gets paid, though.
You got to pay exactly.
It's based off the average.
Exactly, exactly. It's gonna bump up because they're going to have to pay Connor in Pittsburgh.
Well, Connor's on a...
he's still on his rookie deal.
Yeah, but they're not paying Connor. Let's be real.
They're going to give him a bump.
He's gonna have to take. He's not getting Le'Veon Bell money.
No, you're right. He's not gonna get Le'Veon Bell money. But the fact that he gets a bump is gonna affect.
He probably gets like $8 million tops.
Oh no, because I think he's gonna put together another nice year. And it's gonna be one of those scenarios where you pay him or you lose him.
Yeah. Maybe.
So there's a lot of things that can play in, and if you're gonna go with the Zeke and Dak formula, then you're gonna have to pay. Dak's getting 35 a year.
He's not gonna get. They're gonna lowball him.
I don't think they can.
I think he's getting lowballed right now. That's why
I don't think they can afford to.
You can. I mean, you could basically be like, how could you be this? I mean, because he's doing like
they
could
tag him for two years and basically pay him less than the 35.
Yeah, so
but he's going for 35.
So they're trying to base it. They're probably trying to get more than what Carson Wentz got, right? Because they're like,
realize that Foles got 22.
Okay, but that's Nick Foles. Okay, but you're jumping 13 million more. Okay, I think he's gonna. They're offering him 29 to 30. He wants 33 to 34, and that's where the
disconnect is.
I think they're offering him 29 to 30. I think Coop wants to be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. That's what I think Coop wants. He wants to be paid like Antonio Brown.
He doesn't have the numbers for it.
Well, it doesn't matter what the numbers. That's what he wants. So if they want to keep Coop, they're going to have to pay the Coop the big-time money unless Coop has a bad year, which is possible. He's an up-and-down guy. I mean, he's going to have some big games, have some small games. That's what he is. But that's my thing with Coop, and that's why I say you shouldn't pay Coop. You should pay Zeke, because Coop is not as consistent as Zeke. Zeke has been consistent since 2016. He's been a top five running back in the NFL. It's not really been debatable, right? It's not a debate. Coop has been up and down. Coop was good his rookie year, but then he hit the 12th game, and then he hit the rookie wall, and there was too many games for him.
Mm-hmm.
The 16-game season, he started off really hot and had some bunch of hot games, and he kind of slowed down and started dropping the ball at the end of the season, but he wasn't dropping at the beginning of the year. He only had 4 drops in 2016, so I'm not going to go that. But, you know, he just wasn't the same guy at the end of the year. Then 2017, he has a bunch of drops and doesn't, you know, he gets hurt.
Loses favor with the organization.
Yeah, last year, I mean – you know, I think Gruden kind of did him a little dirty, but that's just my opinion. I think Gruden did him pretty dirty. he definitely made Jared Cook the X receiver and didn't make Cooper. So I kind of feel like when I watched him, I've charted all the Raiders games. So I watched Coop's demeanor from week one to week five. Just wasn't celebrating touchdowns and nothing. First week, he's like revving up, hyping up his teammates. Second week, third week. By the second week, he got a bunch of targets. Third week, he got some good targets. But by week five, yeah, he wasn't. Yeah, he was like, this guy's not giving me the ball, so I'm done here. And I kind of feel it because, I mean, who picks Jared Cook over him? I would be a little offended, too. Like, this guy's been in the league 12 years. He's number one right now? Nobody else has made him number one ever? John? You ain't going to pick me?
Marcus, I'm feeling like this went from a Cowboy conversation.
I'm sorry,
to a
but
Raider
I was charting it, and I'm just like thinking, man, that'd be a big play if he may put Cooper in that position, because Cooper would have got open, and that would have been a big play. But no, you're throwing to Jordy, and then Jordy gets caught from behind. Like, yeah, that's gonna happen. Jordy's 33, you know. Like, anyway, sorry. It was just a couple times I was just watching that. I was like, oh, dude, why is he not the target? But back to what I was saying. That's why I think that Coop's too up and down for you to guy. I'm going to pay Coop. Let Zeke go. I think he's too up and down. Yeah, he had some big games. They're on first of all, they're on national TV, so everybody overhypes national TV. His biggest games last year were on
national
TV.
You're not going to get any argument out of me, Marcus. I'm not a big fan of the organization. But I don't like what they're doing. They did stumble into some defensive players that, I mean, quite frankly. Yeah.
He had like 80 yards the last three games. So, like, he's too up and down that you have to pay him instead of paying Zeke. And then you got Michael Gallup. Who knows if Michael Gallup's going to get better this year? You know, you got some other wide receivers behind him. I think that we'll see how Coop, they should.
Well, don't forget,
they shouldn't reach.
Witten's back.
I'm not even talking about that. But they shouldn't reach to play Coop. That's just my opinion on that. I think they should pay Dak. He makes way too much money for how successful he's been as a quarterback. You could debate his quarterback play, whatever. But he's been successful.
So he's not in my top 15, that's for sure, Marcus.
Okay. That's your opinion.
That's,
I mean,
for sure.
I don't know if I
put
him,
in there.
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't think I put him in mine.
Yeah, but
I think I put him in mine.
No. Yeah, see, this is why this is going to be a bad idea.
No, because I already kind of mapped it out. I know who's going to piss you off in mine. I already know. But it's not him.
I'm sure I know who it is too, Marcus.
It's not him. So I do think they're going to pay him. I think he deserves to be paid. I just think they should pay Zeke too. And if Coop plays well enough, you maybe just franchise tag Coop until you want to do what you want to do. But I don't know if he's ever going to be a $20 million receiver. That's just my opinion. He's more 15, 16.
I don't disagree, and I think that's money they should give him. But I think they should get as many assets out of Zeke as they can, because he's too much of a pain for me. And the running back position is completely different now. You can get the same type of production out of 2-3 guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and you're not paying
that is an analytical perspective.
That is an analytical perspective.
Yeah, the Steelers scored more points without Le'Veon Bell, so you don't need him.
I mean,
and then I'm like, well, Ben Roethlisberger threw the ball 700 times last year, so he threw the ball 580 times the year before. Maybe, yeah. So that'd be my argument back. But
yeah, well, you know, Connor missed some time. Connor missed some time. So
okay. 100 passes worth of.
Yeah, I would say he missed 100 passes. I'll tell you where he missed all that, because my fantasy team sure paid for it late in the season.
All right, Chris, so
let's move on.
Let's move on. So let's talk about the future of the NFL quarterback position. We look at these sophomore quarterbacks.
Year two.
Discuss what we think of their status going forward. And what we think, basically, of these guys. Man, Josh Rosen has a weird name. It's Joshua Ballinger Lippincott Rosen. That's interesting.
God bless you.
That is interesting. So let's go ahead and start there. Let's start with Josh Rosen.
He's got a rookie year all over again. That's what he's doing.
Does he?
Yeah.
I don't know, Chris.
New offense, new team. They can bring him in and tat him around like a top 10 pick.
Okay.
They got Fitzmagic there.
Fitzmagic.
To kind of set the the beginning of the season straight. I think they're going to start Fitz. I don't think they're going to start Rosen. I think as an organization, that roster is not up to par with what it should be for a young quarterback like that to come and start right away.
Okay.
I think Rosen's got... He might be in his second season, but I think this is his first season all over again.
See, I have an issue if he can't beat out Fitzpatrick.
I'm not saying that he can't beat... I think
it's a big red flag.
I think that he...
They can, want him to, so that's a big
I
red flag.
I think he will. I think he will beat out Fitz.
Okay.
But I think as an organization, they play it safe and start Fitz anyway.
Okay.
I think just the roster that they have is not in the position to where you give Rosen the reins on week one. You can't set him up
they
for
need
failure
to,
like the Cardinals
did. The roster's
did.
Not that bad.
It's not as bad as you make it. I'm not going to disagree with you.
I think his line is better. His left tackle, Lemmy Tunzel, is really good.
Oh, for sure. I'll agree there as well. But he doesn't have Larry on the outside.
I mean, he's got Kenny Stills still.
You're going to compare
Kenny
Stills. Kenny
Stills is a good receiver, man.
You're going to compare him to Fitz?
He's a good deep threat.
You're going to compare him to Fitz?
He could stretch the field.
Are you going to compare him to
Fitz? I'd take Kenny Stills
right
on my team any day.
Are you going to compare him to Larry Fitzgerald right now?
Larry Fitzgerald's old, man. He's like 35.
Marcus.
I would take Kenny Stills over Larry Fitzgerald right now. For sure. Deep threat. Faster. He's younger. Makes plays.
Marcus.
I'm telling you, he's just been playing with Ryan Tannehill. If he was still playing with Drew Brees, I mean, Drew Brees probably couldn't get him the deep ball anymore. But
Marcus, but you speaking some blasphemy right now.
I'm not, man.
You live
this
in
is
Arizona,
not
07.
Man. If this was 07, I'd be like, no, of course not. But this is 2000. That was 12 years ago. That was 13 NFL seasons ago. We're talking about
you're going to compare
Fitzgerald and his prime.
To Fitzgerald.
I'm not comparing them. I'm just saying who I take right now. I take Kenny Stills, because Kenny Stills is a underrated receiver, in my opinion, who's just been playing with Ryan Tannehill. That's just my opinion. He's been playing with Ryan. If he was playing with Tom Brady, let's say he was playing with Aaron Rodgers, I bet you'd have a jersey. I bet you'd have a Kenny Stills
Get
jersey.
Out of here.
You would.
No.
You'd have
no.
a Kenny Stills
Absolutely
jersey.
Absolutely not.
Yes, you would.
Absolutely not.
All them deep balls? Oh.
They ain't going to Kenny.
Yes, they would be. Dog, you know they would. Kenny be, he'd have like 1,300 yards with Aaron Rodgers. Kenny Stills is really good.
1,300
yards. He is, man. He's really good. He's a good receiver. Good deep threat. Probably one of the best deep threats in the NFL. But like I said, he's got Ryan Tannehill, who has no pocket presence at all. And okay. Just holds the ball. And okay. By the time Kenny's open, he's underthrowing it or something.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. Now all I'm right. hyping up Kenny Stills now. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Kenny Stills
I hear you
is
doing
very
it.
Underrated, man. He's very underrated.
Okay.
Josh Rosen might have some good throws to
I'm not going to disagree with you that he can make the throw there.
I want to talk about Josh Rosen's play.
Okay.
So.
I don't know how you grade him. I don't know how you grade him right now.
I think it's fair to grade him.
I don't even think it's close to fair.
It is very fair. I think it's very fair to grade him by his rookie year. I guess you could say, you know, the offense, the coaching, you know, offensive line was pretty bad.
You could go there.
But I just think that he wasn't very accurate, no matter what. He wasn't very accurate. I was watching him today, and he had this one play where he had a great pocket movement. I was like, man, that's some good pocket movement right there. And then he just threw this ugly, bad mechanical pass. He had Ricky Seals wide open in the end zone, and he threw an ugly mechanical, like, with his mechanic. His feet were too wide, and then he, like... It was just ugly. I wish I had a video.
What week was that?
That was week 12.
Okay. What week did he start playing?
Week 4.
Do you know what it's like to get your butt kicked for 8 weeks?
Chris, he was out of the pocket, though.
Marcus, that doesn't matter.
Chris, he was out of the pocket.
Your mindset is completely different when you got to worry about who's coming to get you on every single play. It's not the same. It's very difficult to play the quarterback position at a Division III level, at a high school level, when you literally have to pay attention to what's happening inside and outside of the pocket instead of what's down the field.
But if you maneuver to the pocket and then you roll out to your left and then you're able to set your feet with nobody around you and you don't set your feet and you throw it behind Ricky Seals-Jones and almost gets picked because if you threw it directly to him, it's a touchdown, but you threw it behind him. And he's standing still, too. Ricky Seals-Jones is standing still. He throws it behind him in a bad placement. That has nothing to do with the line. That has nothing to do with anything.
It has to do with a lot of experience over the course of 8 weeks where it plays out the same way every single time. And you got to worry about making sure your knees aren't locked so somebody can cut your legs out from under you.
I just don't think that he was very accurate last year.
Will agree that he had some inaccurate tendencies, but I think it had more to do with the fact that he was incredibly uncomfortable and justifiably so than it had to do with his actual ability to play the position.
See, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I just think he just looked inaccurate. I think he has some mechanical issues that he needs to fix. And I don't know. He looks so great mechanically in college. Everything in college, everything, he was already lined up. That's what I'm saying. I'm watching him, and I'm like, what happened to you? And then even the 49ers game, which was his second game, so if you want to bring up the whatever, but he won that game, and he had a nice little 75-yard bomb to Christian Kirk. He was throwing some ugly throws, and it's just like he had a quick out, and it's just his feet weren't aligned, and it was just –
He's still trying to get used to the speed of the game, Marcus. He's still trying to get used to the speed.
I feel like
of
you're
game.
Making some excuses here.
No, I'm giving
you're giving him a lot of the benefit of the doubt. I just think there's some things that are just on that tape that I think that even how bad that line was, he had opportunities with how good the defense was and with the field position they used to give him, that he had opportunities to make more of what he had in front of him.
It wasn't just the offensive line though. He didn't even have a running game behind him.
Well, that's because the offensive line wasn't able to run the game. I mean, he still had David Johnson. I mean, he still had David Johnson as a receiver.
They didn't use him that way, though, in that offense. They didn't use him correctly in the offense.
I just don't think he played well at all.
I think he's a man of circumstance last season.
I don't think so. I kind of feel bad about my quarterback evaluation. It makes me want to go look.
I'm going to bring him up slow. This year.
Seriously, I'm really about to go back to my notes about Josh Rosen in college and be like, what did I get wrong? Like, what did I miss?
That's not fair. You can't do that.
I'm at that point. Like, what did I get wrong?
I don't think you got it wrong, Marcus.
I don't know what I saw. Maybe I just saw his mechanics.
I don't think you got it wrong.
I saw him make some big throws, but then I kind of go back. Like he was pretty low on my accuracy percentages.
I don't think you got it wrong, Marcus. You know what? With him,
we'll give it time. I just feel like that I should go back and try to figure out my quarterback evaluation because I was really high on him. And
you know what I'm
trying to figure out what
I
want to
hear.
Yes,
I want to hear your Josh Allen.
Okay. I was going to go in order.
I don't want to go in order because I want if that's where you are with Rosen, I want to hear where you are with Allen.
So you want to hear where I am with Josh Allen?
Yes, sir.
I actually got in an argument with my brother about this the other day because, you know, he's a huge Bills fan.
I'm a huge Bills fan.
Huge Bills fan, and he's also a huge Josh Allen fan. Mm-hmm. So he's part of the bandwagon. He's huge Josh Allen.
Well, he's going to
circle
that way.
I text him. I'm like, you know, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen play exactly the same. And he was not trying to hear it. He wasn't trying to hear it. I'm like, they play the same. They play exactly the same. Yeah, does Josh Allen have a way bigger arm? So when he makes a throw, it looks way better just because the way the ball comes out of his hand. And I mean, he had some wow throws.
We've talked about that.
He's got some wow throws.
We've talked about that.
He's got some wows. Some serious wows, man. I was cool. Oof. But
this is not the first time we brought this
up.
But
let's be real. He just ran the ball last year.
Yes.
That's all he did. Most of the time. I mean, there were some games he looked pretty good. To be honest, I thought he played way better than Josh Rosen. 100%. And his line was almost just as bad. I don't think so. I think they're in the same scenario. I think one could run and one the other couldn't. That's what I think had more to do with anything. I think if he and Josh Rosen switched position, Josh would look. He probably would look better with the Bills because I think the Bills just would have a better coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he would have had more easier reads because Josh had a lot of more easier reads that were created by his coordinator that made it, gave him some easy throws.
I'll agree with that.
Gave him some easy throws. I think Josh's main problem is that he doesn't know a check down. I mean, there's a couple times
you're not going to get any argument from me. A
couple times where he forced the ball into coverage and all he'd do is check it down. He had a first down. A couple times I saw that.
Sure.
And he's overly aggressive, right? But I thought he wasn't very accurate, but he was better accuracy than I thought that he was going to have.
Okay.
I'll give you that. I think he misses throws that he should make. And I think that's his biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
He still throws wide receiver screens in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is with him, Chris, is that
this is what I wait
he
for.
Can run.
Oh, okay. All right.
Plays with the team. He plays a team that can run. He plays a team that's really good defense. And he's a chain mover. And I think that's all the Bills need from him. I think the Bills just need him to move the chains. And I think if he could progress a little bit, eventually, I think his ceiling is, I'm going to give you my comparison that I gave my brother. I think his ceiling is Cam Newton. I think he's Cam Newton. So I think like all your things you say about Cam Newton. You know
what? Yeah, here. Okay. All right.
All the things you say about Cam Newton.
I was going to be mad at you for a second, but then I realized.
What I'm trying to say. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I hear you.
Big body guy.
Yeah.
Runs around. Makes good plays. Sometimes he makes a wild throw. Sometimes you just throw it into the stands.
Okay.
And I think that's his ceiling. I think his ceiling is Cam Newton in the NFL, which means that if the Bills keep playing defense around him, keep getting turnovers, he's really good in the red zone. He's really good in the red zone because he runs, makes plays.
Yeah, sure.
Right? He doesn't make dumb decisions in the red zone. I was expecting more picks from out of him. I was expecting him to make more bad decisions. He didn't make that many bad decisions.
Well, see, here's what I think it was. I think his bad decisions turned into tuck and runs instead of throws.
That's a lot of them, too. That's a lot of it. He did just look to run too much, a lot.
Yeah.
That's where he got hurt. On the play he got hurt, he had a guy running a dig running open. If he took a little more time, I knew he had a little bit of pressure, but if he couldn't have just stepped up instead of trying to just take off. And then he finally couldn't take off, so he tried to throw the ball, and then he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot. He just takes off.
No, that's his move. And you're right. He's got that, and Rosen doesn't.
Yeah, and that was the difference between with the cast and Rosen and him. But he was still able to move the chains.
Oh, sure,
keep his team, and he was able to help.
He falls down
win
and he
games.
Gains 4 yards.
Yeah, that
he's
too.
So big.
He's that too, and he's I don't know how he ran a 4.7. That is not a 4.7. I don't care what I'm watching. That is not a 4.7. That's all I got to say about that. You're just running past people and they're chasing you. That's not a 4.7. I don't care. What, you're running around in circles and defensive ends can't catch you. That's not a 4.7. I don't know what that is. But that's my thing. I just think that, you know, we'll transition to Lamar after this. I think Josh has a really high ceiling. And I think his ceiling is Cam Newton. And Cam Newton's been a successful quarterback in the NFL. He's won a lot of games, been to the playoffs a lot. I think that if he could just keep everything like that, make the throw when he needs to make the throw, kind of learn. Just sometimes he has no idea what touch is, too. That's my biggest issue.
Oh, no, not even at all.
Throws a 5-yard slant as hard as he can at somebody. Yeah, so I was a little more impressed with Josh than I came in there expecting to be. But he's still Lamar Jackson. They play the same. So that's I just want people to know that.
Okay.
If you're going to hate on Lamar Jackson and say that Lamar Jackson can't throw or he doesn't throw, then you better say the same damn thing about Josh Allen.
Because
they play the same. Okay. It just looks better when Josh throws the ball. But Josh will still throw it way over your head or throw it in the dirt.
Sure.
Do all that stuff.
Sure.
But it just looks better. And when he makes that throw like he did against the Jags, I still have no idea how he threw that football or how he got any power on it. I don't know. I watched it 3 times the other day. I was like, how did you get any power on that throw? To throw it 40 yards on the line perfectly.
The guy's got some arm talent.
He couldn't step into it. He couldn't even finish it. He couldn't even follow through.
He's got some arm talent.
It was insane. And he had a couple other throws. I was like, oh, my God, man. If you could figure it out, then
he's not going to figure it out.
But he's going to Cam it. I think he's going to Cam Newton it. That's my ceiling for him.
I'm okay with that because you know my feelings on Cam are. But I'm okay with that comparison.
Okay, so that's what I was saying. I think he can Cam Newton it.
Okay.
You know, my brother thinks he's been Patrick Mahomes. I think he's crazy.
It's
wild. But I'm just going to say that, you know, he's Cam Newton. I think he hit that 59%.
Tops.
Completion records, you know, completion percentage, tops.
He might be more Colin Kaepernick. He might be more Colin Kaepernick.
I was thinking that too a little bit.
He might be more Colin Kaepernick.
I think he does have some Colin in him. Because uh-huh. Colin had uh-huh. no idea to touch you.
Uh huh. I think.
But that's how he plays. Colin. That's what but he is.
You know, you're right. I think that's a valid comparison. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
To be honest, that's how I feel about it. I think his ceiling is around Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick okay. type of thing.
Okay.
I mean, those guys were still win games in the NFL.
Sure, absolutely.
With the good situations around
absolutely.
Them. So if the Bills
both had good defenses at those times, too.
The Bills had the number two defense in the NFL. They had number two defense in Football Outsiders DVOA. They're a really, really good defense. They got even better. Mm-hmm. They got Ed mm-hmm. Oliver.
Yeah.
They still have Micah Hyde and yep. Jordan Poyer back yep. there playing safety. Yeah. They got Tre'Davious White.
I think they got Edwards from
and they got before. Tremaine Edwards, who's going to be really good. Yeah, so that defense is just stacked.
That's good. That's good. I am a little upset that Buffalo got Ed Oliver. I'm not going to lie, Marcus, that one was upsetting. That one hurt my feelings.
But that's what I'm saying, dude. They're pretty legit on defense, and I think with the chain mover, because that's what he's going to do. Sometimes he's going to move the chains. He's going to help them win some games, and they got a chance to make the playoffs. I think they got a chance to be a playoff team based on defense, running game. Him being a chain mover.
You know my opinion of the AFC East is that everybody turned up.
Yeah.
The AFC East got a lot better.
Yeah.
Got a lot better this year.
All right. So let's transition into.
I want to go to Lamar.
You want to go to Lamar?
Because you brought him up. You brought him up with Allen.
So I think a lot of Lamar thing is, you know, is still outside the numbers. That's his big thing.
I couldn't agree more. That's his area of opportunity.
I think they need to figure out a way to get him some easier throws. I think they put on him, you either run the ball or we're going to give you a 10-yard throw. It doesn't matter.
I think they need to make sure that they...
Give him some screens or something. Give him some
They got to make sure that he doesn't end up in the open field because I could see him going down the path of RG3.
Getting hurt?
Yes.
See, when I was watching him, I think he's a little bit more protective of his body. Than him,
and you and I have, you and I have also made the observation that he's not a run to run guy. He's a run because he's ran out of options in the passing game.
Yeah,
so there is some difference there. And I think we're both in agreement that he's very smart inside the pocket.
I agree with that.
But I just the way that the NFL is when you leave the pocket and when you start heading downfield. If he's not being cautious as a runner, he's gonna end up like RG3.
See, I think his main issue too is accuracy itself. I think out of most of these quarterbacks, I feel like that he has a good grasp of NFL offenses. I wouldn't say he has the best of it, but I think he has a really good grasp of NFL concepts and NFL offenses because he's able to go through his reads and I could see it. I could see his his clock,
sure,
whatever, right? While he's going through it,
sure,
it's just. It doesn't always end up where he wants it to be. He doesn't have control of the football because of his feet and how bad his feet are, his mechanics.
I don't know what it is about his throws to the outside. Like, he reminds me of Bridgewater. Bridgewater struggles with some of those outside-the-numbers throws as well. And I feel like it's just a mental block. It's not that they don't have the ability or the footwork to handle it correctly. I think there's something mentally going on there that he just can't get past.
Yeah, I was expecting a worse passer. I was
really
in the film. I was expecting a worse passer than I saw. It's a little better than I thought. I mean, I kind of see what people. I mean, I didn't watch. I think most people have the wild card game in their head, which he was terrible.
Well, I think he got schemed against.
He was terrible
for the first time of the season.
Yeah, so he was terrible. Right. So, and I think that's most people's minds. But I think going forward, I mean, he has to develop as a passer, but it's going to take the NFL a little longer to even stop him from running all over.
Sure.
Him.
Sure.
So
sure.
It's not going to be that easy. I mean, he might run over people for like 8 years, like Michael Vick did, until Michael Vick figured out he had to pass too once he got older. I think Lamar Jackson has that type of talent running the football. And I think he's a halfway decent passer. I'm not gonna say he's a good passer. I'm not gonna say he's a bad passer.
Well, we love what he does inside the numbers. We love those inside cutting passes.
Yeah,
he's got some magic on the ball.
Yeah,
when he makes those throws.
I mean, he's got Marquise Brown now, so I expect more deep posts.
I'm very interested to see that combination.
He's throwing a great deep post. He threw one in college. I expect more deepness. I mean, they're either going to run the ball or throw the ball at 40 yards out of the field.
Oh, my God. They're going to go one wide receiver, four tight ends, and one running back. That's going to be their package. That's going to be their package.
Yeah, I really can't. I can't wait to see how they use him. So, but I'm kind of excited about it. I mean, overall, with all these quarterbacks, I mean, besides Josh Rosen, which we could, you know, we debate whether it's a situation. The other four, though, I was impressed with the. I was like, okay, these guys look like none of them play terribly.
Well, I think
for me not to feel like that they're going to have a good look going forward, but all these guys are probably still be in the NFL, I think, 5 or 6 years
from now. Agreed. And I think that the way that we evaluated them coming out for their rookie season was we were very spot on.
Yeah.
I don't think that I mean, I think the one person we dogged the most was Allen.
Yeah.
But Allen did what we thought he was going to do, which was run the football and just use his body.
Yeah.
So he took that element of being a quarterback out of it that we classified him as the worst of the group.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Lamar, we knew he struggled outside the numbers. He struggled outside the numbers. I don't think we saw anything that we were surprised by.
I did. But I'm going to get to that in a second.
Oh, well, go for it.
All right. So let's move on. I'm gonna go to Baker Mayfield.
You're gonna go straight to Baker. You're not gonna make a pit stop at Sam.
No, I'm leaving Sam for last.
Oh.
All right. So go for Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's tape. I was very impressed with Baker Mayfield's tape a lot. I thought he played really well.
Well, I'm gonna stop you.
Okay.
There because he came out of the gates phenomenally.
Okay.
Because there was nobody prepared for him. They didn't anticipate him to even be there in the first place.
Okay.
Then they went to the tape. And they saw what he was doing.
But then Baker, he got fired.
Baker took a dive. Well, yes, you're right.
But then he got fired.
He got fired. And here's where they made the best decision ever.
Yeah.
They essentially ran the Oklahoma offense.
Yeah. And this year they brought in an air raid guy.
They're doing everything to keep Baker comfortable with stuff that he knows. And this is what you don't see in the NFL.
I'm not going to say they ran Oklahoma's offense. I would say
they ran enough that he was comfortable.
I don't know. It was familiar. I feel like Freddie Kitchens and John Gruden's offense were kind of similar. I think just Freddie Kitchens is a better play caller at this point in time.
I think they ran enough to keep Baker comfortable based off what he knew in his years in high school, and I'm sorry, college. I think that they did enough to keep him comfortable back there, and they didn't do what Hugh did, which was try to force him into a system. And well, I think that's where we have
that.
That's where we have the disconnect between college talent and NFL success, is that these guys in the NFL say, you're going to conform to my system, you're talented enough that you should be able to do it. And these guys are not talented enough to be able to conform. And then they have to change offenses every year because the coach is getting fired, the player's not.
Yeah.
So these kids are getting screwed up because they got to learn something new every year. They don't have any chance to get comfortable, and they're banging their head against a wall.
I kind of agree with that. I just don't think they tweaked it. It wasn't like Oklahoma's offense. I think they tweaked it a little bit.
No, I'm not saying it's exactly like it, but I'm saying they did enough to keep him comfortable.
They tweaked it a little bit. I mean, I will say Baker is probably the best out of all these guys outside the pocket. All his best throws were outside the pocket.
True.
Every single one.
And we did evaluate him as the top quarterback of this group.
Yeah. All his best plays were outside the pocket, rolling to his left, rolling to his right. He's awesome. He has a great, great feel in the pocket. Love his feel in the pocket. Never. He definitely got out of pressure when he needed to and stuff like that. He did a lot of good things. Super accurate with football. Deadly accurate. Probably he's the most accurate out of all these guys in these groups. Well, kind of. He kind of is the most accurate out of all these guys in these groups. I would say that. The Broncos game, I think he got drunk the night before. I'm pretty sure. That's my hot take. I don't know how he played terrible that game. He couldn't hit it. He was awful. They still won, but he was awful that game. He was terrible. My thing with Baker is I think that Baker is going to throw a lot of interceptions. He, for some reason, he doesn't like check downs either. And he thinks he's Brett Favre, which I think that's.
They gave him some weapons this year too. You haven't heard me fighting you.
He's gonna force that ball to Odell.
Yes, he is. It doesn't matter. Yes, he is.
Because he used to force that ball to Jarvis Landry. Threw a couple picks, forcing it to Landry. Now I think a lot of it, he doesn't play well against the blitz either.
Well, that's typical for a rookie.
Yeah. But it's kind of glaring for him. He does not play well against the blitz. But I think his biggest issue is that he just makes crazy decisions. Like, he just has, like, reckless abandon with the football. He just throws the ball up for anybody to grab it.
There's some Manziel there.
Yeah, he just throws the ball up. And it's all from the pocket. It's not when he rolls out. Right. I feel like when he rolls out,
he's just comfortable. He's in another space.
Yeah, when he rolls out, bro, I'm telling you, he has some of the most prettiest throws I've ever seen. Rolling out of the pocket, left, right, doesn't matter. But, like, it's when it's in the pocket and he has to make a read and he can't get out, that's when he just starts forcing the ball into traffic. That's why he threw so many interceptions in that span. I mean, he threw 14 played 13 and a half games because he didn't play the second half of the Jets game.
Mm-hmm.
He threw 14 picks, man. So you add that on, and if he has another bad game, I mean, his picks against the Texans were just ridiculous. I don't know what he was thinking. He thought he could throw through linebackers. You can't throw through linebackers, dog. But, you know, maybe he'll remember that. But I don't think he will, because he, against the Ravens, he tried to throw through linebackers. He just makes a lot of bad decisions. And I don't know if that's going to get better, because I think that's his personality, to be courageous.
I would agree with that statement.
I have a big arm, which he does, but it's not. He's not Brett Favre, and I know he thinks he's Brett Favre. That's why he did the whole picture and all that stuff. And I could tell why he plays like Brett Favre. Like, he has the excitement. He jumps around,
sure.
Swings his arms, and he throws a touchdown.
Sure,
but you just don't got that arm, bro. You just what you're missing is the big time, crazy, insane Favre arm. But I think Baker's gonna be really good. I don't know how much better he's going to get, though.
Well, I'll tell you what.
So that's my thing with him, too. Like, what is his – I don't know if he has a higher ceiling than what he played last year. I think his interceptions should go down. But if they don't, that's not going to look good. But I think his ceiling is kind of lower than, like, let's say – I think the highest guy with the highest ceiling here.
Rosen?
No, it's not Rosen.
It's not Rosen?
No. I think it's Sam Darnold.
Oh.
I think Sam Darnold is the highest.
Well, let's go ahead and go there.
So I'll wrap up Baker. I think Baker's going to be really good. I think Baker's going to be top 15 quarterback his whole career. He might be top 10 one year, might be 13 one year, but he's going to be in that area. That's him. He might be 5 one year, however he plays. But he's going to be good. He's going to play 12 years. Browns probably go 8-8 a lot because they're the Browns. He'll give him a couple playoffs, and we'll try to figure out, is he good or not? He'd be like Matthew Stafford playing for the Lions, you know. Because he played for the Lions, he can't get over the hump. He's like, why can't Baker get him over the hump? He's going to play there 12 years.
He'll get that Golden Tate wide receiver love.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, yeah, so that's what I kind of feel like about him. So let's get to my last guy, which I think he's going to be the best of all this whole group.
Really?
I do. I was watching him the other day. I just feel like he's going to be the best out of this whole group. And Sam Darnold. I think because he's the youngest.
I think you're right.
He's the youngest. He played really well to end the year. I think he even played really well at the beginning of the year. I watched his game against the Colts. Played phenomenal in that game. Had some awesome throws. Very pinpoint. Great accuracy.
Well, I'd like to see some more decisiveness out of him.
Yeah. I think he got better as the year progressed. And that's what I like about him. Is that he had that good game against the Lions, which was kind of a fluke because didn't Stafford do like 6 picks or something that game?
I don't even remember.
He threw like 6 picks or something. So that game was a fluke, right? He threw like 17 passes. And he kind of started struggling a little bit. He kind of struggled against the Vikings, which, I mean, any rookie on third down would struggle against Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, no kidding.
But as the year went along, he had a really good game against the Packers. Really good game against the Packers. He had a really good game against the Texans. He just ended the year really, really well. You could tell. It kind of bothers me they changed the system on him. I thought the system he was in was perfect for him. Had a little college elements to it. Helped with him. But, you know, they brought in a different system. We'll see how that goes for him. I think that's the only thing I kind of worried about. I'm kind of worried about Adam Gase and his system for him. That's the only thing I'm worried about with Sam Darnold. But, you know, he did make some dumb decisions too. kind of make well, some he dumb plays.
No, no, he was making the right reads, but then he hesitated on it. And then he would hesitate with like four pump fakes and still make the same throw anyway.
Yeah.
So he was making the right read just way late. Way late.
See, one of my favorite throws for him was against the Vikings, and I still don't know how he made this throw. And it wasn't even like a first down, but it was like 3rd and 11, and he had to hit the quick out route because of the pressure because, you know, the Vikings third, the dudes come from the stands.
Yeah, from everywhere.
They come from the stands. But he was getting sacked, and he was on the opposite hash. And I don't know how he zipped that with perfect accuracy with the linebacker trying to cut it off right into the out route. I still don't know how he did that throw. And then he had this other crazy throw against the Colts that was really good. I just feel like that he has the highest upside of all these guys. He's just as athletic as any of them.
Okay.
He is his upside. And what I like about him is that his feet don't have to be set for him to be accurate.
Okay.
That's probably my favorite thing about him, which makes me think that he could be really good because he can have bad feet and still be pinpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really, really good thing.
That's a pretty impressive thing.
Yeah. And
that's
always
pretty impressive.
And I really always thought he was a really accurate quarterback. And he always anticipated. I just think that with Le'Veon Bell, I just wish they kind of gave him some more receivers. I really just wish they would have built the receiving corp around him.
Well, I think it's going to be really interesting offensively because your number two receiver is your running back.
Uh-huh.
Your number one receiver is Robbie Anderson, who's not a number one receiver. I would agree with you that offensively they might not have the most dynamic players for a 7-on-7 scenario.
Yeah.
But I think what they did defensively gives them the opportunity to be on the field offensively a lot more often, that the opportunity will still be there. And I love that they got Bell there, so it's not all on Sam.
I agree.
When you don't put all the pressure on your young quarterback, you're going to have more success.
Yeah.
That's just the way it always works out. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see 60 run, 40 pass. And not necessarily, all right, let me fix that. Le'Veon Bell gets the heavy majority of balls.
Okay.
And it'll be dump offs. It'll be screens.
Yeah, because he checks down like the rest of these guys.
Right. But I think they're gonna I think they're gonna force the check down as well.
Okay.
I think they're gonna design plays to where you're seeing him scanning the field, but he knows his first read is coming down to Bell.
Okay.
So I think the scheme is gonna be more in that versus a natural check down based off of the route running.
Yeah, I just think his upside is just he's just still young. He played pretty good to end the year.
I think that all these quarterbacks have a lot of upside.
Yeah, I really do. I think I like this whole class, to be honest. I really was impressed. I was not impressed with Rosen. I'm not gonna lie to you, Chris. I was not impressed.
I'm gonna tell you.
I'm kind of like, I don't know. This one, I'm really thinking about my quarterback evaluations. He had me thinking about
I'm
it.
Tell
I'm
you,
like,
you gotta.
What get, did I miss? What was wrong?
I think that this year is another wash.
I was like, what did I miss? Why did I not have Darnold over him? Like, what did I miss between him and Darnold? That's kind of the main thing that is kind of bothering me is like I had him ranked over Darnold and I'm trying to figure out why I did that. And
I'm
this
telling
bothering
you,
me.
I think just the way that the Cardinals organization is built and the guard and how they're running that organization, that led to his poor rookie year. And I think that this year is essentially his real rookie.
I hope so for my quarterback evaluations. I really hope because this is putting a black eye on me. I don't like it. I've been too right the last 5 years. I can't.
You can't have this on your conscience.
I can't take this, man. I can't take this Josh Rosen. I don't know.
I think, like I said, last year was last year. This year's his rookie year. This year's his rookie year.
Okay. All right, man. All right, so got anything else for us, Chris? About an hour, kind of.
No, I think that's a nice way to start it.
Okay.
Loosen up here.
Okay.
Get a few reps in with the arm. You know, kind of go into the week and reevaluate how do we feel.
Yeah.
See where we're at.
Okay.
I think it's a nice way to get it started as we prepare for training camp.
I agree. Training camp is next week.
It's football season, Marcus.
It is football season.
We're back.
We are back. So once again, make sure you hit us up on iTunes, hit the subscribe button, hit the download button on Spotify so you can always get reminded when we're having new episodes. Shout out to all our regular listeners.
Yes, thank you. I think we got to officially call this season two, Marcus.
I know, it is season two, man.
I think this is the season two, episode one.
Yes, yes. And make sure you rate us and let us know that Chris needs to come up with his top 15 quarterback so we can debate it.
Oh, this is going to be bad. This is going to be... We're going to need three shows. We might get through four quarterbacks the first one. No, you know what? I think we can get through eight.
Are we going to have to go to 15 through 11 and then 10 through 5 and then 5 through 1? Is that what we have to do?
I think we can get through eight.
You think you can get through eight?
I think we can get through eight with the first time through, and I think that we'll be okay. But once we go to number 9, and we try to go 9 through 15 – I think that's where it's going to get interesting, Marcus.
I think it will get interesting. You know, I think it will get interesting.
Should we prep him with it? Is that what it's going to be?
I think that's what we should. I don't know. I think that's what we should do.
I feel like that's the expectation we should set.
So are we going from 1 to 8?
I think we have to.
Okay, we're going 1 to 8, and then we're going to go.
Then we're really going to get into it. Yeah, we got to give them some. They need a little prep to get into the season. They got to get the feeling right. So I think the best thing to do is kind of ease them into it.
Okay.
Because 9 through 15 is going to get rough.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. All right. So make sure you subscribe once again. Download on Spotify. We're out. Thank you for listening.